My name is Mike Goldman and welcome to On The Mic. Today, Chrissy Stanley, she's an animal lover, she's a performer, a comedian, a self-confessed TV whore, and she's here today on The Mic. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Look at these amazing animals you brought in here.
Darling, they say never work with animals and children. Look what I've got here, you and these. My God, my life's complete.
How many animals do you actually own?
Oh, gosh, about 30.
30?
30,
so yes. You've got mostly birds by the looks of it.
I've got lots of birds. I've got lots of chickens, the beautiful silky chickens, lots of parrots, bunnies.
Who makes the most noise here?
That chicken, because she wants to lay an egg.
Oh, okay, so we could actually, excuse me, you're wrecking the audio. What's this one's name?
That's Ollie.
Hey, Ollie. Just please don't chew the microphone. So give us a little rundown about you and where you're at in your life now and what you're doing. I'm going to have to confiscate this microphone. I'm sorry.
Where am I at in my life? My God, I don't know where to start. I do these bird shows every day of the week, 5 days a week. We have no bookings available until next year. We've got a 12-month wait list.
That's amazing.
It's like the cut price deli, take a ticket. and it's all because these little critters work their magic.
So what's the name of your bird show? What do you
call it? My bird show is Chris's Feathered Friends.
Chris's Feathered Friends.
That's it.
And so you basically go around doing shows for everyone from the homeless to people in retirement village, school fates. Or...
Yes, majority of work is in aged care. Mm-hmm. We go in and we make the old folk laugh. Love making the old folk laugh. So we do aged care, hostel. Mm. We do a one-hour show with all the animals, which has got comedy thrown in. It's peppered with comedy because the old people have such beautiful sense of humour. They've all got a story to tell.
Yeah.
So, that's what keeps us busy. Mm. And
so is that the main reason behind it, going into those retirement villages? You feel like they're a place where people are really sad and need to be cheered up?
It really is. And look, a lot of facilities, men don't come out of their room till Christmas. It's a well-known fact.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the men tend to stay in their bedrooms. But at Christmas, they come out. Mm. So, of course, when we go in, we've got all the birds and the birds are squawking and making noises. Mm. Suddenly you see guys coming out of their rooms on their walker in the wheelchair.
Oh, nice, for the entertainment.
And they come to the show.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some amazing stories with people that are ill and just with animal therapy.
Bringing a little bit of happiness into their lives.
Yeah.
A lot of people in retirement villages don't have any family.
A lot of life in a lot of retirement villages is beige.
Yeah.
That I'm not beige.
You're not beige.
You're
very pink.
That's what started it all. I thought I want to put colour and laughter into aged care facilities.
Great. And so what's with the show rundown? What do you do when you head in there?
Well,
what's the plan?
The plan is just to go in and
do... Is that a guinea pig or a rabbit? It's a rabbit.
That can be anything you want,
darling. Especially if you shave it, Richard Gere.
I saw Fatal Attraction. I know what happened.
So
come here.
What's going on with all these things? What do you do?
We go in...
Are they trained?
They're all trained. They all poo on command.
They poo on... So do
I wish I could. We go in and look, whatever it takes to make the audience laugh, we do. And we gauge the audience. I've done over 6,000 shows in aged care in 13 years.
That's amazing.
And I've seen some amazing things happen in there. I've been called amazing things by our old folk, you know, they're having a bit of a bad dementia day and then they come good.
Well, they think you're their wife or something.
Oh, no, they just tell me to fuck off. And then they totally forget it and go, oh, I love the birds.
And then your best friend's all over again.
It's great. So this is what we do. But I basically bring the birds out one at a time, introduce them, tell everyone about them, little stories on them, how I got them. Like I've got one over here that was terribly neglected, terribly. And she lived in a panel beading shop for the most of her life till we got her. We rescued her.
Yeah.
So they've all got a story. Mm. The chickens were all white, but I coloured them.
So what do you colour them with? Food dye?
I colour them with food colour, just a splash of food colour in their bath water. Mm. And like when I got them all and I wanted to bring them in, I looked at them and they were all white and I thought, oh my God, they look like tampons. I can't take them into an aged care facility. So I've coloured them and they've all become famous. Like that yellow one is lemon chicken.
Yeah,
and
lemon chicken.
And the one next to her is apricot chicken. This is Olsen. They've all got names. This is
Olsen. Why Olsen?
Olsen. Long story, but his name's Olsen, and we just did a film for Tropfest, and
Olsen was the star of it.
Olsen was in it, and we had a wonderful sponsor come on board and put some money into our film.
Oh, that's cool.
So we named the chicken after Olsen.
Do you have a favourite here?
Every one of them. Every one of them. The really? Favourite, the baby, the star, is the one on your shoulder.
Yeah.
The little blue one.
It's behind me right now.
Like, if you put your hand up like that, you should be able to get it. Oh. Other side. Ruby.
Oh, Ruby. Hey, what are you doing back there? Come up here. Come here. I think I've
got it. Have you got it?
There we are.
This one is fascinating.
That's
this
your favourite?
Oh,
tell me about this one. Ruby,
oh, my gosh,
is it?
Ruby. Ruby does lots of TV commercials, photographic work.
Oh, wow, cool.
Look at the sheer beauty.
Yeah.
And this little one has pooed on so many celebrities.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I think I've got one on my back right now.
Well, you're number five. We've got Miguel. We've got Chris Brown. We've got Carrie Ann. Dr. Harry. Pooed on them all. And when I bought this little one, it's a boy called Ruby. Yeah. He was 64 days old. And do you want to guess how old he is next month?
How old?
I'll give you a clue. Very close to my age.
Okay.
How old do you think I am?
Well, 40.
The show this morning, an old bloke said, you're 101, love.
No.
Yes.
Bastard.
I said, darling, I'm full of Botox. I can't be. anyway, this little one will be 19 years old next month.
How long do birds live?
These 25, 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't look old. How can you tell looking at a bird how old they are?
Well, you can't unless you're a really clever bird expert and can look at the beak and do all that kind of stuff, which I can't do.
Wow, that's incredible. And so you're travelling around, you're doing all these shows in Retirement Village. Do you ever have any old dudes ask you out?
Oh, all the time. I got my bum pinched this morning.
Really? Wow.
The blokes are cheeky.
What'd you do?
Nothing. Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek. And so what do the people who run these places think of you showing up with all these animals and entertaining all the old folk?
Look,
how much of a difference does it make?
Look, it makes a massive difference. A massive difference. And they just love it. They just, you know, it just brightens their whole day. And then they start talking about birds. And then after the show, they'll all wander off and talk about birds. So that brings that just chewed the button off your Gucci top there. And then goes the second one.
I have a button that's gone now.
You've got a button that's gone.
Okay. It's like a vintage look anyway. It's probably
just
a good thing.
It'll be really good by the time
it's not the first time a bird's wrecked my shirt.
Well, I'm not touching that.
Yep. So it is amazing what you're doing and changing people's lives and with people who are in the older, no, not that button, the later part of their lives,
yes.
And they need a bit of cheering up, and it's great that you're getting out there and doing that. Is there any times when you've been to any of these places and something embarrassing's happened, like maybe the birds have started humping each other or maybe some of the people you're entertaining have started getting it on?
Actually, when we took them on the Carrie Ann show, it was hysterical. The two doves flew onto her head and she was interviewing me and they were just sitting on her head, and then they started to have sex on her head.
Oh, no.
And I said, Carrie Ann, I'll just get them off your head, and she wasn't aware, and she went, no, no, leave them, it's fabulous, and here's these two birds going for it.
Oh,
that,
no.
That was a crack.
She had sex on the mind, literally.
Head job.
Oh, no.
And then we had...
Poor Carrie Ann.
Poor Carrie Ann. And then we had this little one. We were on the living room, and this one was on Chris Brown's head.
Yeah.
And they were filming it, of course, and then they cut to do commercials. And Chris is going, Chrissy, Chrissy, the bird. And I've looked, and Ruby's on Chris's head, and Ruby's little legs are going like this. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, it's stuck. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's stuck in my hairspray. It was just way down in the hairspray. But
That's crazy. So you've worked on a few TV shows over the years.
Oh, gosh.
But you've had a fascination with television for a long time.
Oh,
why
yeah.
is that?
Look, when I was a kid, I was brought up just watching television.
Mm.
And I used to sit there and watch everything and think, oh, my gosh, when I grow up, I just want to do it. I want to do it. And sort of when I was a kid, I had a pretty bad childhood and I was very ill. And
what was wrong?
Well, when I was five, I contracted malnutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten over that.
How do you contract malnutrition?
Well, you're not fed,
by not eating.
Not
anorexic.
Fed very well by the people that are looking after you.
Okay.
And then that led to an eye condition, and I completely lost the sight in my left eye through herpes and iritis from the malnutrition. And then I had 15 eye operations. Plus, I had freckles and wore glasses, and nobody wanted to be my friend. So life was pretty lonely, so I used to escape. I would go into the television.
TV was your escape.
TV was my escape.
And what was the first TV show that you got involved in?
Oh, gosh, the very first TV show was Blind Date.
Blind Date or Perfect Match?
No, I did Perfect Match.
It was called Blind Date, was it?
They had a Blind Date in 1967.
What? That long ago?
Yeah.
You're older than I thought.
It was black and white. Had to fly to Melbourne. Tony Barber was hosting it.
Tony Barber?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Tony Barber?
Barber. He's whistling somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they had, Graham Kennedy was hosting it. Tell the Truth.
Tell the Truth.
That was
another show.
And that was black and white.
You were the go-to girl to get on a show to liven it up. We've got no guests. Who are we going to call? Let's call Chrissy Stanley.
I remember I won Roland Storm, the entertainer.
You run, what was that show?
That was Blind Date.
Oh, okay.
That's who I won.
Okay, so you won the guy.
I won the guy.
And you got to go out on a date.
We got to go out on the date to the bourbon and beef steak.
Yeah.
And then I had no family support, so I sort of did nothing. TV wise, and then it's all.
What about the date? Did that go anywhere? That's not your husband now, is it?
No, but we're still friends.
Oh, okay.
Still friends
really?
After all these years. How fantastic is that?
That's cool. And then later on, fast forward a few shows. You did Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, Wheel of Fortune.
How'd you go on that?
Love that. Yeah. That was great.
You wanted to win the money, or are you just on it because you love being on the telly and being entertaining?
Yeah, the money's a bonus. Yeah. I just want to be happy and make people laugh. Mm. And I sort of digressing, like what I had such a miserable childhood. There was no laughter in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about seven, and of course we were so poor, I used to wear my school uniform out. And so at seven, I had a birthday party in my school uniform, and something happened. I don't know what it was.
Hey, chickens, shut up.
Darling, I'll put you in the oven.
Oh, no.
And something happened and I laughed and I thought, oh, my God, this feeling, this laughter.
Yeah.
I want to keep on doing this. So that was the moment. That kept me going.
And what about you? What about your parents? Were they funny people or were they a bit boring?
No.
Is that why you decided to go so far
it
the
is.
Other way?
Yeah, they had no sense of humour, not even when I was born. So they split up when I was very young. They split up when I was 11 and sort of I was thrown out.
So you latched on to anything that was funny,
anything
entertaining.
Anything that was funny. Anything.
Anything that you could see humour.
Anything.
Are you the kind of person that if you've got crap you got to deal with, you'd like to just brush it under the rug and just focus on the fun stuff?
That's what my wonderful son Chris always says. Mum turns a negative into a positive.
Yeah.
And you have to. The glass is always...
My dad does that too. You know,
does
my dad,
he?
Grant
yeah.
Goldman. Yeah,
yeah.
He's always, don't sweat the small stuff.
No.
Life's
no.
too short. Just,
that's right.
Just move on. And, oh, really? What are you eating on my
shoulder?
Oh,
just
are
you a cashew nut.
Are you serious? I've never been surrounded by so many
darling,
animals.
Have you ever had two birds attack your shirt?
Yeah, I have.
Have you? Did
yeah,
they take
yeah,
it off?
But they were both very drunk at the time. And the restraining order is still in place, so I can't talk about it. So, okay, and what about the mole? You're on the mole on Channel 7.
Oh, the mole in paradise. My God, what a brain fuck that was.
Why?
Oh, my God.
I saw a little bit online when you're actually booted off at the look on your
yes.
face. You were so shocked, like, how dare you? I was going to win this thing.
But do you know what was hysterical? They took us to New Caledonia, so I had 2 weeks over there, which was fabulous. And we were doing 24-hour shoots.
Mm.
We were filming for 24 hours with no sleep. No sleep.
Yeah, that's
and
what they do.
Yeah.
On those reality shows, I know because I've worked on one or two of them, we like to keep them awake as long as possible because then people get grumpy and the darker side of them comes out and we can cuddle that up, put it in a highlights reel and make them look horrible.
That's
pretty
it.
Pretty much like they're still doing today on shows like Married at First Sight.
Sight. Yes,
you been watching
absolutely.
Any of those
oh
current
my
shows?
Oh, God,
are you,
I love
are you still
it.
A TV whore like where you
I
watch it
am,
in the lounge room?
I am.
I could picture you on Gogglebox or something like that, sitting there in front of the TV having
sorry,
a go at
that.
Everyone who's...
Actually, I auditioned for Gogglebox. I so wanted to go on Gogglebox.
Is there anything you haven't auditioned for?
You see, look at my age.
Yeah.
Just full of Botox, full of laughter.
How much Botox do you have?
Oh, a shitload.
How often?
Oh, twice a year.
Twice a year?
Twice a year.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
It's good stuff,
do you
isn't
have it?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, you've had your forehead done recently.
Totally,
it's a bit shiny.
I totally approve of it.
Who does yours?
You know, it's TV in this day and age. You need to. You need to get a little freshen up, don't
Who
you?
Who does yours?
I use a lady in Brisbane. Yeah.
My gosh, that's a long way to go for a prick in the face.
I go up there a little bit, a prick in the face. The lengths I go to get a prick in the face.
My God.
Don't tell anyone that. That's top secret. But it's, you know, why not? If it helps you feel good about yourself. I mean, you dye your hair pink and you feel good about yourself. You like it. And I tell anyone, you've got to think about it first and foremost. Why am I doing this? Do I have the right mental state? Am I doing it just to impress someone or am I just doing it for myself? And if you're doing it for yourself, then why the hell not?
See, I say I've got a face like a fetus and a neck like a turkey.
Actually, it makes me feel like lunch now you say that.
But I go down to Double Bay to Maddie, who's one of the Real Housewives of Sydney, and she's hysterical. I get a full floor show when she does it.
Give me my beads.
Do you want me to take him? Yeah. He'll destroy everything. Ollie, come here. You can pick him up. He won't bite.
Come here, Ollie. Ollie just wants to stay with me at the moment for some reason.
I've got no one.
You've got no animals. You've got a bunny rabbit. You've got your chicken.
My chicken.
What's his name again?
Olsen.
Olsen. What was I talking about? So TV shows that are on at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you watch probably the most popular show at the moment would be Married at First Sight. Yeah. What do you think of that show?
I think they've done a great edit job on everyone.
I don't think they've edited it too much. I think
you don't.
I think it's completely irresponsible television, and the producers should be sued because all of those people have gone onto that show with open arms, trusting the producers of the show to line them up with people that might be their perfect match. And those people have had horrible dating lives, the majority of them, and they've decided to, you know, leave it with someone else. So left it with someone else, but these assholes that are producing the show have set them up with complete fuckwits.
That's
right. And people that aren't matched to them in any way, shape or form whatsoever. And then to make them look like even bigger dickheads, they brought along these, you know, psychologists to tell them how they should make the relationship work. And it's the biggest and most worst car crash television other than Big Brother. And that's all they're trying to do. They're trying to do just a cheap version of Big Brother. We put people in there that don't match up, and some people that do match up, and we film it to see what happens. But I think it's completely irresponsible. But at the same time, a lot of people would see it as great viewing.
That's what they signed up for.
There's a girl called Davina. I don't know.
Yes. DeVulture.
I've only watched a couple of episodes of the show. But she has copped so much hate mail, so much abuse online, because the guy that they set her up with was so not right for her, it wasn't funny. And then all of a sudden there was someone else there that she got along well with, and they made her out to look like a slut.
They did.
Yeah,
they
as
did.
Much as they possibly could.
Yes,
I have no idea who produces this show, and I hope it's no friends of mine that are producing it, but yeah, I feel really sorry for the people who are on it.
So do I, especially now, it's like, I think this is the last week, and then they're all going to be... None of them are together now, from what I understand.
Yeah, well, why go on it anymore?
Why
go on it and sit in a room and just bitch about each other?
And now they're going to be walking down the street, all the trolls on Instagram, on Facebook. Mm.
But you know what it comes down to? Like, the people that do go on it, and I believe that people that go on those shows just to build their Instagram following so that they can find their actual fans. Because if you look at the whole of Australia, like 80% of Australians probably going to think you're a dickhead the way that you act on a show. But there's 20% of people out there, there's a few million people who are going to go, oh, I really like that girl. I mean, she's not so bad. And then all of a sudden, you've got your following, you've got your market, and those people make a living out of that.
Well, when Davina went on, she had 200,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, and now she's got half a million or something.
Oh, she picked up 60,000 in the first week.
Well, Davina, she used to live a couple of doors down from me when I was living in Brisbane, and just down the road from the Botox place. and she has a personal training studio out the back, and my girlfriend and I used to go there and train with her, and she's a really good trainer, and she knows a lot about health and fitness, and she also does these lunches in Brisbane, which I've noticed online recently because I follow her, and I have for years. We're just empowering young upcoming businesswomen, and they're going really well, and I think I know her, and I know that she's a lovely girl, she's very down to earth, but just the way that she ended up looking on that show, because
they've
just put her in a horrible situation.
They have, and they've all got nicknames for her, and it's just every one of them. None of them were suited. Absolutely none of them were suited from the beginning.
Yeah.
And those three.
Oh, you're going to lose an earring. Oh, doesn't that hurt? Are you in pain? Your earring's gone.
This one's the pickpocket. I've told him to pickpocket.
It's like the monkey from Pirates of the Caribbean that runs and steals all the gold. That's awesome. What other reality shows are you into? What have you been watching, or what have you auditioned for? Fame whore.
A media whore. I must say The Mole was fantastic.
Yeah. Is that still on though? It's over.
No, I wish they'd bring it back because it had such a cult following.
That was your favourite one to be on.
Yeah.
What about what's on now?
Grant Bowler was fabulous. What's on now? Oh, do you know my favourite show in the whole world? My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. Oh, my God, I love it.
Never watched it.
It's hysterical. It is just hysterical. I love that.
What about cheap weddings? Have you seen cheap-ass weddings? It's a documentary about people.
Yes, yes.
It's a TV series about people who just want to spend as little as possible to make their wedding.
And when I was on the mole, the guy that won it was on cheap weddings.
Cheap
weddings. And I rang him and I said, how cheap? Like, Sean, what did they give you? And he went, oh, my God, we got the best deal. I said, what? He said, they gave us a free video of our wedding. And I went, you're kidding. You're kidding.
But everywhere you go, people go, oh, it's the dude off cheap weddings. He's not going to buy anything. Kick him out if you walk into a shop.
It's the cheap weddings.
It's the cheap weddings guy. They can't really call you the girl off the mole, the mole girl, or because you've been on so many other shows.
Gosh,
Perfect Match.
Wheel
of Fortune. If you could go on any show in the world right now, no matter what it would be, what would you do?
Oh, it'd be my own show?
Yeah. Well, you're kind of doing your own show now.
I'm doing now. Yeah, we're working on a pilot. We're working on a very funny pilot.
Yeah, cool.
Called My Fabulous Life.
I saw that the other day.
Yeah, I saw a bit of it. Did you like it?
Because Chrissy has this amazing short film, which she's just finished.
Yeah.
It's called Adventure Before Dementia. And it's in short film competitions all over the world. Just been accepted to the Sanctuary Cove International Film Festival up on the Gold Coast.
Very excited.
And which shortlisted, I might have something to do with.
And shortlisted for Tropfest.
Shortlisted? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was shortlisted.
What was
for
the
Tropfest.
Theme for Tropfest to get short?
Rose.
Oh, so did you just put a rose in there?
Well,
somewhere?
The pink chicken's name is Rose.
Oh, well, that's easy.
So, we just did a story on
you deserve to get in Tropfest because you've been shortlisted before. So, fingers crossed you'll get in.
It's the third attempt at Tropfest.
Yeah. And so, what are you hoping for that to lead to, the actual commission of your series?
It would have just been great for people to. Oh, that's some bird shit. That's really good luck. Just for people to see what I do.
Got shit all over me. I didn't bring a change of clothes. I got three other interviews to
do. Have you just turned it inside out?
Yeah, well, gross. What was I saying before I put my elbow in bird
piss? I would, like, Tropfest would have been a great stepping stone for us.
Yep.
But the thing about our film in Tropfest, and you saw it, it was full of laughter and colour. Mm. Laughter, colour, fun.
Yeah.
And it left everyone just happy and in a good mood. That's
good.
What we wanted to do for Tropfest. Because a lot of Tropfest is sort of a bit serious and moody. And
It is. Yeah, I mean, you don't go out to a big park for Tropfest to sit there and have a drink and watch something really boring and sad.
And go, what was that about?
Too artistic and confusing.
Yes. Yeah,
leave those crappy Tropfest art pieces out of it. Let's see some more fun stuff at Tropfest.
That was the whole idea. But anyway, look, it might happen, and this is why we're going with the pilot, because we just want to do silly stuff. We something different, make people laugh. Just there's not enough laughter in the world. Everyone's miserable. Everyone's
So what will the show have? Will it just be cameras following you around your day-to-day life?
It's going to be, we've got a few people lined up, and it's virtually going to be a day in the life. So I'm going to sit down and we're going to talk to someone about the day in their life, and like we're looking at Krista Bilic coming on board. So a day in Krista Bilic's life, we'd probably go to the Louis Vuitton shop and do shopping.
Yeah,
Krista would buy several bags.
How good is Krista Bilic?
Oh, my God. She is the most beautiful.
I love the Bilic's.
I love her
inside and out.
She is just fabulous.
Do you know some of his paintings are in like the Vatican, in the White House?
He's going to the Vatican this month for 3 months to paint.
He is such an interesting guy.
His
art is just so amazing. I think we need to celebrate him more. He's a national treasure.
Do you know what? He watched my Tropfest film and he came over and said to me, Chrissy, I like your Tropfest film. You are like a volcano ready to erupt, but you have no eyebrows. Get some eyebrows.
You've got eyebrows?
No, I drew them on today for you.
Oh, so since then he's decided.
Yes, he's such an amazing artist, and this eye just picks everything up.
Yeah, but we want to get him on the show sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Must.
Have you been to his gallery down there at Circular Quay?
Yes, I have.
If you're in Sydney, ever get the opportunity, go to Circular Quay and check out the Bilic Gallery. It's an incredible tourist attraction, and the paintings that he's done there are just mind-blowing. And you can get prints of the paintings as well, which look amazing.
And I've sat down and had a few drinks with him, and he's there just sketching. And it's just coming to life on the sketch. Takes him 5 minutes, does these amazing sketches, and he's just flinging them across the table and going, oh, my God, they're just so beautiful.
How does he get those straight parallel lines?
And he just
so incredibly. Is that freehand?
Magic,
or is he using
freehand, no. Magic, that hand is magic.
And so how did you guys become friends?
We met through when we were doing the Trot Fest film. Maddie was in it and Krista was in it. Mm. Oh, my God. Krista was hysterical. Mm. Absolutely hysterical.
They're well known for being swingers as well.
I know.
Did they ever get you involved? Oh, sorry, your son.
There was a scene in the Tropfest film where she asked me to lick a hand and I was quite hesitant.
Oh, dear. That's how it starts.
That's how it starts.
Next thing you know, you're waking up at their places. What the hell happened last night?
And I
did was lick her hand.
And I was sitting there and we're filming for Tropfest and I said to Krista, I said, and I'd only met her half hour before the shoot.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I said, Krista, is it true you've had vagina rejuvenation? And she went, oh, darling, you want to see my vagina? And she lifts the frock up and I went, oh, my God, I'm looking straight down the barrel of her vagina. And I went, no, Krista, put your frock down. And so I said, tell me about your vagina. And she said, well, my vagina was looking very sad, like an unhappy Mona Lisa. So I have vagina rejuvenation and now my vagina looks like a happy Mona Lisa.
So what did it look like? You saw it.
Well,
describe it.
A lady never tells. Look, you've seen one, you've seen them all. And then she said to me, darling, don't you want your vagina to look fabulous when your husband looks at it? And I went, no, I just turned the light out. But nothing's sacred with Krista. So we thought if we had her in one of our early pilots, we hang out at the Louis Vuitton shop and then she comes and spends a day in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd take her over to the reject shop at Miranda and Best and Less at Miranda shopping. Yeah. So it's just going to be different lives, two worlds meeting with lots of comedy.
That's so cool. Oh, I really hope your series gets off the ground.
So do I.
And your short film is amazing.
Thank
if anyone
you.
Gets a chance to see it anywhere at any of the film festivals all over Australia or around the world, it's called Adventure Before Dementia.
That's right.
Because you're wanting to get out there and have fun before you start going senile.
Before you fall off the perch. That's it. You've got to have a fabulous time.
Yeah, man. That's so exciting. Okay, I heard a rumor about you losing your virginity, speaking of vaginas, underneath a bridge somewhere. What's that story?
Oh, my God. I did.
I did my research.
You did? My God. I didn't know it was on the internet. No, I did. I lost my virginity under the Camden Bridge.
The Camden Bridge?
Bridge. I grew up in Camden.
Okay.
So every time I go over the bridge, I have a minute's silence for the dead. And all my friends that know the story, they absolutely... they laugh so much that they wee their pants and they go, oh, Chrissy, I went over the Camden Bridge today and I thought of you. So it will never be the same if anybody goes
maybe
over the Camden Bridge.
Maybe they should name it after you. What a boring name. Maybe the Chrissy Hyman Bridge or something. I don't know. We should campaign to the Campbelltown Council to change the name of the Camden Bridge.
Oh, my God.
To the Chrissy Hyman Bridge.
Oh, gosh, that's hysterical. That's hysterical.
How old were you?
Oh, gosh, a lady never tells.
No, okay.
No, it was 1969, I remember. That was a good number.
1969. Okay.
You see, I went to Camden High School. I got expelled from Camden High School.
Why did you get expelled?
Because I hated school and I didn't want to learn.
I got expelled too.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you do to get expelled?
Lots of things. I was a smart ass, set fire to the principal's car, flooded the school.
I set fire to the school lockers. That's the day I got expelled. It was the happiest day of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Because for people like us, they don't have classes for what we want to do and where we want to go. They just want to sit us in a room, bark at us for hours, ring a bell when it's time to go and have lunch.
That's right.
Treat us like factory workers from the 1950s. The whole school system needs to change.
And hated school. Hated it.
Yeah, same.
Camden High School.
I hardly ever went as well. Did you wag a lot?
Oh, I used to jig all the time.
Yeah. Jig?
Oh,
you called it jigging, did you?
I used to jig from the dentist, jig from school. I used to, whatever I could. I'd just be sitting around the back of the toilets having a cigarette. Because you did in those days. Yeah. You did.
You don't smoke anymore, though.
Oh, gosh,
are you healthy?
I'm very healthy.
Yeah, cool.
I think so. No, I don't smoke. I gave it up when I had my son. He was 4 and I looked at him one day and I thought, oh, my God, I do not want him to smoke. And it was April Fool's Day and I had my last cigarette 25 years ago and put it out and that was it. Never looked back.
Good.
Had to go and get the cigarette lines taken out with filler, mind you.
Oh, they're
all
gone now.
All those years of dragging.
No more dragging.
No more dragging. I'm fagging. So they're gone.
So, yeah. Chrissy, tell us, if there's someone watching this right now and they're thinking, well, I'm not the happiest person alive. I probably think I'm a little bit mundane or boring or, you know, don't have a lot going on. You're someone that's got such an incredible vibe about you. What would you say to someone like that to help bring them out of their shell? Buy some animals and dye them with food colouring?
Yeah, look, you know, as I said, and I've said, I always turn a negative into a positive. And friends, lots of friends ring me when they're feeling down, they want to be cheered up, whatever. And the first thing I say is, darling, put some lemonade on your panty shield. The bubbles will spark you up. And that's it, you know. You can either stay in that place or you've got to make an effort and get out of it. I can only make you laugh so much.
Yeah.
But I just think laughter is the best medicine in the whole world.
Yeah.
And we'll walk away from this and our adrenaline will be buzzing and we'll have flashbacks of what we've said and I've gone, oh, shit, the whole world is going to know about my virginity. But, hey, you know what, if it makes you feel better and it makes you laugh, I don't care.
What about negative people? Because I've always been a believer, and Will Smith was saying something about this the other day because he started video blogging, saying if you can't look to your right and your left and see someone that 110% supports you and what you do and where you're going, then you need to cut those people out of your life.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you get rid of those kind of people who, you know, are a dead weight? Those emotional vampires that just bring you down. Some people feel like they're just stuck with those people.
I know. And one of my mottos is life's too short to put up with fuckwits and idiots.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
Mine's life's too short for shit red wine. My mum taught me that. Thanks, Mum.
Did she?
Yeah. That if I leave anything here on this planet, I just want people to know that.
You love good red wine.
Goldman wine. You should try it. Hunter Valley. Very
oh,
nice.
My gosh. And see, I drink a bottle of bubbles a day.
Yeah, really?
I cool. think that's why
what
it feels
kind of bubbles? What are you into?
Oh, dang. I'm a massive fan of Trilogy.
Trilogy.
Absolutely massive. Love Verve, but it's a bit X-y.
That is a bit. What's the most expensive champagne you ever had? You ever had Dom?
I've had Dom.
Wait,
what
do you think?
Dom. I loved it. Mm. And I've had Bolly.
What
oh
about Passion
gosh.
Pop? That's how I got started.
Oh, turn it up. I think that's how I lost my virginity, a bottle of Passion Pop.
Summer wine. Summer wine got me going when I was about 15, 16.
And Black Tower. Black Tower.
Oh, I never had
wine.
A Black Tower.
Porphyry Pearl. Porphyry Pearl.
What is that?
That was in the little fat bottle. And if a guy took you out and bought you Chicken Maryland and a bottle of Porphyry Pearl, you were
We'd be in love.
Oh, married.
I was at the bottle shop the other day and there's a lady screaming at the guy behind the counter that she was a bit tipsy and she didn't know what the name of the wine that she wanted and she's just screaming, "Lady in the boat. I want the lady in the boat." And she was actually meaning the Coolabah Bar wine cask to the lady sitting there in the boat with the umbrella.
Stop it.
What's your favourite cask wine? Do you ever drink?
I call them goons.
Goon. There is no nice goon, really.
There is no nice goon.
It's cheap. We need to eradicate that from our country.
I've got a girlfriend who gets into the goons of a night time and she sits there watching television and she's telling me she's got her feet on the goon box. As the evening progresses, the box goes down.
Is that her exercise regime? Like she's leaning forward with her feet on the goon box. She'd be doing 100 sit-ups a night, wouldn't she?
And then, yeah, and then people take the goon out and they peg it on their line to get the last bit out of the goon.
And then they can blow it up and use it as a pillow and sleep
in
the
street.
That's
right, yeah, on the airline.
It is an amazing invention.
The bladder. Goon. It is the bladder, isn't it?
The bladder. Love the bladder. Hey, so, Chrissy, where are you off to now? You got a performance somewhere you're going to go
no,
to?
No, we've done a show this morning and we're heading home now to give these guys lunch. They'll all have a bath in the sun when we get home because they all free range. They all roam.
Oh, they're so they're free. Just running around the house. They don't all have cages or anything like that. It's not like a pet shop at home.
No,
they're just everywhere.
They're all in a massive, beautiful garden we've got. So they're all safe there. They roam all during the day. The doves are only locked up of an evening. They put themselves in their house, so they free fly all day. So nothing's locked up till the evening. So, and that was another thing. We didn't want animals that were locked up, so they're all very spoiled. That little one on your shoulder, if you can smell garlic, that's because we had spag bol for dinner set at that one. So that one's a bit
garlicky.
I'm a bit garlicky. That's
life. I was
going
to have words with you about your work. That's fine. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Do you any work for the Animal Welfare League or... the RSPCA or anything like that?
No, I don't. At the moment, I have permission to go into just aged care facilities, which I do.
You must talk to them a fair bit. Do you talk to them about getting to the latter stage of their life? Do a lot of them get more religious, or do they get a bit more flippant? Or is depression a big thing there?
Depression is a massive thing. Yeah. And I think I would probably be depressed if I was in an aged care facility. Yeah. I would hope not. So they're either crazy mad like me.
Mm.
They do talk about death.
Yeah.
And every one of them's got a story. Everyone's got a story. Mm. And we've been to so many facilities with famous people, famous people that are still in there now. Mm. It's another world. Another world.
What famous people who are in retirement villages?
I can't say.
Yeah.
No, and we're going somewhere next week where someone is extremely famous.
Yeah, wow.
But, you know, we have to have our police checks. We have to have our insurance.
Yeah.
They know that we come in there, and any photos that we take, the photos belong to the facility. We don't do anything with them. Interesting. It's interesting.
Chrissy Stanley, you're an amazing person, an incredible human, bringing laughter and happiness to the world.
Oh, I hope so.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And here's some of the highlights from that new show that you're pitching.
Yes.
And also a little bit of the short film, Adventure Before Dementia.
Oh, thank you.
Before we play that, how can people find you online if they want to follow you on Instagram or wherever you are in cyberspace?
My website is chrisstanley.com. My Instagram is Chris Stanley, and Facebook, Chris's Feathered Friends. I'm Chrissy Stanley, and my job in life is to make people laugh.
Getting naked. I'm still over getting over Christo's Mona Lisa thing happening.
Oh, the designer vagina.
Yeah. It works.
Have you got any selfies?
Oh, yes, I have. Do you want me
it's
to
It's got live on. It's trended on YouTube.
Oh, my gosh. Like the before and after?
No, I do only the after. You know?
It was smiling downward now. Really smiling.
It's smiled. Very welcoming when you got down there. Very welcoming.
Oh, my God.
Chrissy's Feathered Friends, thank you to all of you for being on the show.
Thank you,
bunny rabbit.
Thank you.
And we'll see you around.
See you around like a donut.
Thank you for watching.